Rest of you, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 26 through 31 today. And as we're continuing our study there, we're going to probably read in just a moment verse 17, or I will. But I encourage you to turn in your Bibles and we will stand in a moment and read that passage. But as you're getting ready for that, I know we've got visitors, so I'm going to tell you up front. I just preach what it says straight through. So you just get ready and things. Also, we're in North Texas. And so they've got a preacher that's got a little bit of redneck in him. So just get ready. I just want you to know that. And a lot of my illustrations happen to be about Duck Dynasty this week. So just so you kind of set up where we're going. But, you know, as we come to this passage and we think about what's taking place, I've shared with you as we're reading that verse 17 of this, when we preached it, is kind of a theme that Paul is going to keep going back to as we go all the way through chapter 4, verse 21. And so each of these paragraphs is kind of relating back to what that verse said. And so I want to start with that verse and read it to you and kind of go from there. So it said in verse 17, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ shall be made of no effect." And so as we come to this passage today, it's going to tie back in what's the wisdom of this world? And so, or words. And in our world today, it's to a point that when most of us that are my age and older, we could graduate high school and go get a job, and that high school education was a definition for an educated person. Now in our world today, it's becoming to a point that a college education is a big plus to go into the job market. And not only a bachelor's, but maybe a master's or a PhD. If we were preaching from in the Metroplex, there would be the church would have a lot of those kinds of people probably in that. Up here in Bells, we're probably not as big diversity of that, but we do have those. So, you know, the wisdom of the world is what he's going to be talking about, and I'm going to talk about this. Now, here's my first illustration about Duck Dynasty. I was watching this week, and, you know, my wife, she loves this show, and so I have to record it for her too, and it helped me. But there's an old show that's on, and it's one where they've been out duck hunting, and there's a beehive. And it's an inside out. It's got bees all over it. Now, this show makes a lot of fun of people because it matches up with my family. I see resemblances of my brother in it in many cases and things. So, but Cy and Chase and Willie are going to go get this honey. And so they come up with this brilliant idea, like Bruce would, to take a generator, take an extension cord in a swampy infested area with a shop vac and a long hose and suck up honeybees off of this honeycomb. And you can imagine what happens. They just stir them up and they begin to get stung and things. And so they get back into the RTV deal that they've got, or the four-wheeler, and they're going away. And Cy is kind of my hero. My wife's got a shirt with his name on it, you know, because she loves him. Cy is looking there and realizes that Willie's got a college degree and Chase probably does too. And Cy says, "You guys are just educated stupid." After they've just done this with the shop back trying to suck up honeybees. Well, you know, sometimes it's that way in things. But I want us to think about this as we look at this passage, because Paul's going to talk about a church community here as we look at this that there wasn't many in the church of Corinth that had education. There wasn't many that had nobility or power or money. And again, I don't take what I'm about to say in any negative way, but when I think about the church of Corinth, I think of our church, because we're one of those that financially, we don't have a lot of folks that could just write a big check and do something. We've got a church that's getting by and doing what God wants us to do, but we've got a church that is made up of people kind of like our community. For those of you that's visiting, we started in January doing something because we saw a need that this community has a very need of families in our community that have a need of a meal on Wednesday night. We were told in our work with the young people that we have in our ministry that some of these kids will not eat a meal after school from Monday through Friday. They don't have anything at home to eat. Right, wrong, or indifference, they're hungry. I can tell you they're hungry. So we started doing that, expecting a small number. This week we fed 50 kids and about 20 or 30 adults in this building, which is packed. But God instilled in us that this is what we're to do. Now, if you're in a big church, you think, why feed a bunch of kids that can't do anything? Well, we're going to preach the gospel to them. We're going to see the fruits of that by people coming to Jesus through that and things. And so we do that. And so I want us to think about that. And so as we're looking at this passage, I'm just setting this up with that. There's another thing I want to encourage you. I forgot to do this last week. For those of you that have satellite and can watch the History Channel, I encourage you to watch it tonight. Now, here's the way I want you to watch it, though. Remember, I always have this in there. There's a show coming on. It's a mini-series of 10 hours every Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Why they do it at 7 o'clock is because most of the world doesn't go to church on Sunday nights. But we have church. So all of y'all that come all the time, DVR. Okay? Record it, because that's what I'm going to do. But you watch the video, watch the show. But I encourage you to watch it. I think it's going to be really biblical and straight to it. But if it's, take your Bible. If the TV show's got something that doesn't line up with the Bible, this supersedes it. Hollywood, and I respect the two people that's producing it, I understand that. But our worldview is not what we need. We need God's view. And it's going to be a great talking point for those that we're going to be in contact with this coming week. Because if it starts like I believe in the creation story, you can jump all over that one. And when the flood comes about, you're going to jump all over that one because there's going to be all of these views and things about there. So I encourage you to watch this show and think about it and be ready to confront our culture with that. And so Paul is kind of dealing with that as we look at this passage. So there's my introduction. Let's jump into the scripture. Please stand with me. We'll read verses 26 through 31 of 1 Corinthians. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. These things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh shall glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. As it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, I come humbly before you today. I seek your face. Father, I pray that we will glorify your name as we've already sang. Father, that we will stand up in a world that is lost and dying and preach a gospel message that confronts sin, Father. That we will be the righteous people, the sanctified, the redeemed people, and our wisdom would come from you, Father. Guide us and direct us in all that we do, that we glorify you. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Paul has used the term here in verse 24 already when he says, but to those who are called, Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so, what's he talking about when he comes to verse 26 when he says, for you see your calling? Now, he's talking to those that are saved when he says that. I want you to understand something. When we look at the word called in the New Testament, the subject is always that God does the calling. I want us to understand it. Our responsibility as Christians is to preach the gospel message. Our responsibility, if you're a Christian, is to witness to those that don't know Jesus. We're not responsible for drawing people in, but we are responsible to share this mission opportunity, to share this gospel message to a world that needs it. Christ, through His Holy Spirit, will draw the people. The calling will come from God. This weekend, our kids have been up in Oklahoma City in a setting of painting and doing some work up there on a homeless shelter in Oklahoma City. So they're out there doing it. They don't know what's going to happen with that, but I see God's fruit being done. And so we see this take place. And so He's talking to those of us that are called. And it's by His Word that that's taking place. And we'll look at that in a few moments. And then He says, brethren, referring to, again, the church. And I've shared with you before that this is written to the church. And He said, you know, Corinthians, there's not many of you that's wise in the world standard. You know, there was probably one or two that had what we would consider a degree. There just wasn't a lot, but there was a couple. There was not many of them that were of noble bloodline. Now, for us in America, we don't understand that. I shared that this morning, and somebody said, I was a queen one time. Probably homecoming queen in Bells, because that's about the only queen that we have. Okay? But, again, and don't take what I'm saying wrong, but just think about Bells, Texas. Okay? I grew up here. I know how this town is. You know, we're all the same. You know, I was reading about a church, and we're starting our home mission, our North American mission emphasis this week, and think that they gave $525,000 to missions. You know, we could build a building for that much money, and hopefully one day we will. But see, when God does that building, it's going to be a God thing around here. Because there's nobody around here, and I'm not picking on Bells, but we just don't have that kind of money in Bells. We got a lot of working class folks that are just doing what we can do and giving to God. Like us feeding kids. Whatever God wants us to do and doing that. So there's not that. But we're not wise according to this. And then he uses the word flesh there. Now, I want us to realize that Paul will be using this, and again, for most of us in this room that are, or most of you in this room that are underneath, say, your 40s, flesh, that word doesn't mean a lot. For those of us that are like me, that's got the other color of hair and things, we grew up on King James, okay? And the flesh to us, we understand that's the sin nature. That's the part of the world that we don't want to be a part of if we're Christians. And it's the world order. It's the world knowledge. You know, we can do that. And that's why I say, watch this video. I was flipping last night, and they're showing the other side on that same TV channel, I think, because they were talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, and I was flipping through trying to find something to watch, and it talked about what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, and science was trying to explain how it was a meteorite and all of this. I don't care if God used a meteorite. He said he destroyed it. That's all I need to know. My wisdom comes from if God said it, that's it. Now, and I've told you before, when I went back to college as a 40-year-old man, I don't understand any of that stuff. You know, I just say, I believe God, and that's the way it is. I believe there was a flood. I believe he fed 5,000 with a sack lunch. How he did it, I don't need to know, because I know what I know is, what I saw today is 2,000 years ago, God's only son came and died for whosoever would come. And this young lady came and said, I'm one of them. And from this day forward, from that day whenever she did it, from that day forward, she's now a child of God. That's all I need to know. How much did he love me? This much. See, my mind doesn't have to go with how does it work. It goes with the fact of God's wisdom is there was a problem. Sin was it. Mankind is sinful. And there has to be a way to get from God to man. The only way was for his son to die. And Paul is saying, that's what I'm going to preach is the wisdom of God. And so it's not going to make sense. The might, the power, the noble, those are not necessarily the one God uses. See, I get excited about what we're doing on Wednesday night. And I know that we had 48 for Sunday school. That really breaks my heart, but I know that we got a whole bunch gone. I understand it. Okay? But I told you, we fed 50 kids Wednesday night. We're going to have about 30 adults with that. So that's 80 people on a Wednesday night that most churches don't even have anything. And on tomorrow night, we got Cub Scouts. There's liable to be 40 kids here then. I don't know. I don't count. There's something going on at this church all the time. And we have Sunday night services. And it's not about the numbers, but we're doing the things that God told us to do that brings people in. So I want us to see that. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 9, Paul is quoting that here in this verse when he says, in chapter 9 of Jeremiah verse 23 says, that the Lord said, let not the wise men glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty men glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. We're living in a world that all they want to do is look at the big house I've got, look at the fancy car I've got, look at all of my plaques on my wall that's got my letters behind my name of the education I've got. Or if we don't have it, sometimes we have the same problem, we glory that we don't have it. You know, you know those kind of people. Well, I don't have an education, but I got common sense. I know how to get things done. I know how to do this. And that education's bad. Education can be bad if you put all your trust in it. Anything you put your trust in other than God is bad. To a point that if that becomes our God. Now, education is good. Don't get me wrong. I believe we ought to be going to school and things. I understand that. But what I'm saying is we don't need to take God out of that picture. And that's what he's talking about here in this and things. As we look at the next two verses, 27 and 28, God says, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame those things that he's just mentioned. You know, God chooses the nobodies to be somebodies. Boy, that kind of makes me feel good. You know, and not that I'm a somebody, but I was to God. And everybody that's hearing my voice is a somebody to God. Because he loved you enough, if you accepted his son, that you're a child of God. And see, we're all on the same ground if we know Jesus Christ. And when we grasp that and the power of it, to the strength of that, what's going to take place? You know, again, for those of you that don't get to come on Wednesday nights, you miss a blessing and things. I just want to share with you how we have to do things around here. And it doesn't make sense. I know that. But we use what we got. We start about 3 o'clock cooking food. And we got a whole bunch of ladies that do all different things. Stephanie was crying this week during this 3 o'clock time period because she was chopping onions. If you have hot dogs, you got to have onions. You got to have chili. So we're cooking all this stuff. Well, the kids start getting here. Now, we say we start feeding at 5. They start getting here at 4:30 or 4:15. And I guarantee you, if we want to, we could have the bus stop and we could have more. But we're just not ready for that. You know, and we've got the cookies that some of you are bringing and things. So we start about that time. Well, if y'all, those of you that know how big our fellowship hall is, can you imagine about 50 kids in there? It can be loud. And as they're in there, they're moving around. Well, we have to organize it that at a certain time, we send part of the older angels out to the tennis court so they can get their energy gone and play. And if it's raining, it is a sad day around here on Wednesday night. I pray for rain, but not on Wednesday. Well, then our kids at 5:30, they come in here, and our choir went from 8 to 32. And they're in here singing, and they can shout to the Lord on Wednesday night. And they do, and it's great. So they're coming in here. Well, you've got to realize this room is prayer meeting. So we get them out of here that way. Here come the adults in this room. The youth are on the tennis court. Well, we're sending these outside so they can run and get the energy off. So the youth are coming down the hallway. And they're going outside. And then they're going to all those little rooms back there. This place is a madhouse because we're tearing this room up and down, up and down. Those poor chairs, I don't know they know what to do except go this way. That's all we do with the chairs in that room. But see, we're doing what God, it doesn't make sense, but we're doing what God told us to do because we're reaching the community. And that's what he's talking about here in this verse, that when we're called to do it, we've got to do it. Now, I share that to share this with you, the church, and I don't know the reason, but there's lots of churches that are in this same boat. The church that our youth are ministering to this weekend or at, Blake called me and told me that it's a beautiful building and really large, but that several years ago that they were running 1,300. They're on Exchange Street in Oklahoma City. I'm not sure where that's at, but it's somewhere close to downtown. 1,300 people. Right now, they're barely running 200 people. That breaks my heart. Because I know the community, there's still people there, is what I'm saying. God placed a church in a spot. There's got to be people there. And they're not reaching that community. They may need to change them. I don't know. But what I want us to know is we're going to do what it takes to get people here. And it may not always be on Sunday morning. It may be Wednesday nights or Monday nights. But whatever works, we're going to bring them and we're going to preach the gospel message. And we need to evaluate those programs because God wants us to do those things and the importance of it and seeing that take place. In verse 29, he says that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know that we can't glory. That's what I want you to understand. I'm not glorying in the fact that we're feeding those kids. I don't have nothing to do with it except be here. And I praise God for Jim and Diane Williams. If y'all know Jim and his illness, I don't know how he stands there and turns hot dogs enough to feed that many kids. Because these kids can eat 6 hot dogs apiece, some of them. You know, let me put it this way. For those of you that don't know, Jim can't unscrew a jar anymore. When all of that dips get open, he comes to me and says, and it breaks his heart. I know it does because he just can't physically turn it anymore because of his hands and stuff. And I think about Jim giving up a Wednesday afternoon of work to be up here. And there's more than just Wednesday because he's getting all the food and doing all that. But he's doing it because, now Jim can't teach, he doesn't want to teach the kids. He wants to feed the kids. God called Jim to feed the kids. Now he's got a college degree. He's got that, but that's what Jim loves to do. Diane's the same way. Diane doesn't really want to be out in front, but she's great at being back here taking care of the things. Some of y'all are in that same role because many years ago you were the teachers. But because of age or whatever the reason, you can't do that now. But when we put a sign-up sheet, you're making cookies in the middle of the day and bringing them up here. 5 dozen, and I get the last one 2 weeks ago. Because I know who make them, and I'm going to get me one before they're all gone. But you're doing that, or you're praying for them. Like this afternoon, starting as soon as we get out of here, we start praying for our kids and our adults to get back safely. See, you can still do that. God's called you to do that. It doesn't make sense because the world says you're too old to do this. Our government may say that. But you're not. You're doing what God wants you to do. Now, the song that we sang, one of my favorites, and I know I'm old school, but that's the way I was raised, is Stand Up for Jesus. And I know in the Baptist church, when I grew up, we didn't sing the third song, the third verse very often. Since we came here, we started doing that. I think my unofficial opinion is Baptists were afraid we would get too much Holy Spirit because usually the third verse talks about the Holy Spirit, if you'll read the hymnal. But anyway, I asked our guys to do it this week, and I want to read those words. Now, you said these words when you stood up a while ago. And so when you speak them, you need to live them. You said, stand up for Jesus. Stand in His strength alone. Church, we need to stand in His strength alone. The arm of the flesh will fail you. Hey, my education, my knowledge will fail me, but God won't. You dare not trust your own. Our world says trust in yourself, self-confidence, but that's not what we need to do. We need to trust in God. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Where's God calling you? If you're visiting with us and you've got a church down the street from you, if you live in a different town, you find that church home that you can go to. You find a place where you can worship. We'd love to have you here. I understand that. But we need to do it. God is calling you to be on ministry where you're at. If you're a Christian, we need to be doing ministry somewhere. You're called to do that. And so He's calling us to do that. I want us to see that as we move forward in this and standing up for Jesus and things. In verse 30, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. Now, wisdom is going back to that verse that we've already talked about in verse 17. Not the wisdom of words or the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of God is what we need to follow Him. And Christ is our wisdom. We've got to see that that's the case. Jesus tells us to love those that He brings to us. They may not match with us. They may not look like us. That's okay. You know, Jeff had asked me about this morning. I'm going to share it again this time because we have some visitors and things. You know, God has blessed us with Jeff and Stephanie coming to our church and being a part of it. Jeff's the one that plays the guitar. And he was asking about the headband this morning and things. And I said, well, we'll just leave what the Spirit said of how to explain it, because for those of you that can see that's up here close, Jeff is on full-time oxygen now. Has to have it all the time. And every time he was singing and turning his head, it was being pulled out of his nose. So the bandana is there to hold the oxygen in. And so if you walk in and you think, he's a Robertson, you know, without the beard. I said, it doesn't bother me. You know, it's kind of like Camouflage Sunday. It doesn't bother me. Whatever you want to do, just come. The worst thing is to have empty chairs. We need them full. We need people on fire to do what God wants and things. And so I want you to see, and if you're sitting back there and somebody says, well, why is he wearing that headband? Well, you can explain it to them if they need to know. But the fact is what does it matter? Christ is not looking at what we wear. He's looking at what's in here. You know, those little kids that's hungry, they need us to love them. They need us sometime to tell them no. Because nobody at home's doing it. Nobody's telling them about Jesus. The only Jesus they're going to see is that. And they're like, why is First Baptist wanting to feed us on Wednesday night? Because we love them. Because we're willing to do a need that they've got physically in doing that. Because it makes sense to us. And then it says that by wisdom then in righteousness that is imputed into us, that we through Jesus Christ or have a right standing with God. You know, I want you to understand something. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're an enemy of God. That's what the book says. You've got to understand that. Now, our world can say you can feel good and think. That's not what Scripture says. The flesh, the part of me, just like I say, my grandson and all those kids that's in the nursery back there, we don't have to tell them what sin is. They're going to do it all by themselves. I mean, my grandson got really mad at me yesterday because he loves to be outside. Poppy said it was cold because his mommy would come home and find him and Poppy would be in trouble. So I brought him inside. After the crocodile tears were flowing and the bottom lip was out, he was mad. My wife texted me from where she was asleep in the other room and said, "What is wrong with him? He'll be okay. He's mad." I didn't have to tell him how to get mad. He does it all by himself. But Poppy was the reason for it. See, it's just the way we're made. But the fact is that Christ came that we could have peace with God, that we could stand up for Jesus. And the only way to do that is to accept Him. And that picture of what we saw of as she was laid down in that water, and the water didn't do it. She'd already done this. But the fact was is that picture of death to the old way of life and rising to newness of life, that the righteousness of God came to us through Jesus Christ, not from what we do or she did or any of us did, but we're right with God because of what Jesus did. If that don't get you excited, church, your wood is way too wet. Maybe you need to blow on it or something, but we got to realize that it's through Jesus and that's all. That we can be right with God by accepting Him. Then that we can be sanctified. Another one of those big words that's hard to understand. What does it mean to be sanctified? It means that we're set apart, that holiness is given to us. That we become sanctified, we become right, not by what we can do. We cannot earn salvation. You can't do anything. That's where our world's at today, and that's the problem we've got. You can't do enough good things to get to heaven. The only thing you can do is fall at the face before Jesus and say, "I'm a sinner. I need you." And He will sanctify you. He will make you holy. Now, I've already shared this with many of you, and I'm going to share it one more time, except it's in a different light. I was reading in one of my studies this week, and I got this one of these reports, and it was showing the breakdown of the religious affiliation of our senators and congressmen and all of those folks that's in Washington that don't know how to handle money. Okay? And in that, it said, this is a quote from this survey, that almost 80% of those that's in that place up there are either evangelical Christians, I'll get it out in a minute. Y'all going to have to know what I mean. Are Christians or Catholic? Almost 80% that those that we have elected. So if that's the case, if they're saying that's who they are, why on earth is marriage an issue? Why are we killing babies by the thousands and the millions for convenience? You know, God said some things that's it. Again, why worry about the guns? It shouldn't be a problem. The guns don't kill. I can go to Academy and the whole wall is full of them. I can go to Cabela's and there's a bunch of guns down there. And them guns are not going to kill me. It's the goofy person that gets the gun. Because he's got the wisdom of the world. He's got Satan as his God instead of Jesus Christ as his God. Amen. Because if we got it right, it won't matter. I love my guns. Don't get me wrong. But I told my son he would not have a paintball gun. Because I could not justify the fact that gun is loaded and dangerous every time you pick it up. Do not point it at anybody. And I would have wore his behind out if he had of. And then God, I'm going to go buy him a gun that I want him to shoot his buddies with that's got paint. It didn't make sense to me because that doesn't make sense. Now, I love to eat deer meat. I love to eat lots of wild game. That's what I have my guns for, okay? If you don't like that, I'm sorry. I'm not going to hurt nobody with them. But that's the fact that we're being... The next one is that redemption, that we're bought back. That we're bought back with a price. Something had to be done. Jesus was the only one that could do that. That we understand the need for that and the importance of it. And things, and I'm not going to... I'm running late again. In verse 31 it says, "That as it is written, he who glories," or in maybe your translation says boast, "let him glory or boast in the Lord." That's a direct quote from Jeremiah 9:24, or pretty close to that. Now, I chose that song, and I know that this is odd. Again, we don't do things normal in this Baptist church. But we're going to sing the same song twice in the same service. That was your preacher's thought, okay? Don't blame the music guy. That was the preacher. Because I like the words. I don't know how to play an instrument, can't sing a lick, but I love the words. See, you sang these while ago. While we were getting ready to come back in here, you sang these words. Now again, your words need to speak your truth. You said, Father, we love you. We worship and adore you. You said that. You said, Jesus, we love you. We worship and adore you. You said, Spirit, we love you. We worship and adore you. And then the chorus says, glorify thy name on the earth. Glorify your name in all the earth. That we would realize that our purpose here is not to glorify Bill Neal. Our purpose is not to glorify First Baptist Church. Our purpose is to glorify Him. And if we love Him and adore Him and worship Him, that's what we are to do. Our churches should be full of folks that's willing to do that very thing, that we worship God in all that we can. And as we sing this song as a hymn of invitation, we're going to sing all three verses. I encourage you to think through that. And as you say those words, do you really mean them? If you love Him, will you do it? Will you be a part of that love of sharing with Him and worshiping Him? Now, I got a question, because those of you that know, by the way, I'm going to be a little busy this week. My wife has got a list for me to do. And so from Thursday till Saturday, if you need something, it may take a while to call you back, because Mama's wanting Bill to do something. And my son's getting married with my future daughter-in-law and things, and so we got a lot of things going on. But you know the thing about that marriage? It won't work. And I'm praying for her right now, because he's a coach. And he almost lives what I'm about to say. So it's going to take work on his part to make this work. But if you were in a marriage, either side, husband or wife, but if you were in a marriage, how many of you would stay in that marriage if you only showed up on one day a week for less than an hour? And that's the only way you showed your love. How many of you would do that? And then you only go that hour so you could show off your new Easter outfit. Or your new cowboy boots. Or how much your beard has grown. You know, whatever it might be. Not many of you would stay in a relationship like that, because you need love to be shown by more ways than that. That there's a paycheck coming in so that y'all can eat the rest of the week. That when they come in and you do something, you say, thank you. You know, men, we need to say that more. When our wife does the things that we normally expect, we've been raised that, you know, the wife is to do this or that. Our world has changed, but we need to say thank you more. We need to say we love you. I know that there's a generation that was hard. I understand that. But we need to realize that we love God. Let's show it. We show it by doing activities sometimes. By giving up a Wednesday night to come feed kids. By giving up a time period to make cookies in the middle of the day so you can bring them up here to the kids or the cupcake. Whatever it might be, you show love by doing things. That's what God is telling us to do. And in this, I think that's what we should be doing. If we're going to glorify His name in all the earth, most of us is not going to be able to do it financially. We're not going to be able to do it in things around the world. I understand it. We're in Bells, Texas. But folks, there's ministry going on in Bells, Texas. There's ministry going on in Plano, Texas. In Brownwood, Texas. Or wherever you're from, there's ministry going on. You need to find it and get to be a part of it. And things. You know, my questions are these in closing. What or who do you trust in? You trust in yourself? Because I'm going to work hard. I'm going to do my job. I'm going to get the paycheck. Or do you trust in God to give you that job? And realize it's a blessing to use that for Him. Like I said, if you watch the Bible movie tonight, tomorrow at work, somebody else is going to watch it, and maybe you can show them some light that, hey, that's not exactly what the Scripture says. Well, I'll guarantee you, some of them are going to wonder, well, what about this flood thing? And there's going to be a view that it just happened. Well, the Bible said, God said it rained, and that the deep sprung forth water. They need to know it had never rained up to that time. Noah had a lot of faith in building a boat when it had never rained. And I know, well, how could they get all the animals in a boat the size of a football field? A God thing. And there's more animals today than there was then. You know, it's real simple, but we want to make it too hard. So what do you trust in? You know, in Matthew, I didn't share this with you, but in Matthew 6, Jesus says, where your treasures is, there's where your heart's at. Christian, where's your treasure? Is it in Jesus? If it is, we ought to be doing what He called us to do. Now, for anybody that's here today, I always have to share this. Because it's back to what I was talking about in that love relationship. Throughout Scripture, we see that we have to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We as Baptists, I think, have done a disservice when we use the word saved and things like that. You know, I was saved when I was, or I joined the church when I don't like that. Next Saturday at 5 o'clock, that couple will make a vow between each other and God that's to last a lifetime. And every year, my son, I'm telling him insight now, every year on March 9th, he better remember that day. Amen? Men? Amen?
Amen?
Okay? So you remember that's the day. That more so that you share that relationship. My point is you need a relationship with God like that. There needs to be a day that you know you gave up control. My treasures went from being me and my world to being Christ in me. And I love Him that much that I'm in a love relationship with Him. It's so simple that a small child can do it. It's so simple, an 80-year-old man, the first man that I baptized in that baptistry was an 80-year-old man that got saved in that room back there by a group of 90-year-old and 80-year-old deacons and leaders in this church. And he walked out the door and said, "Preacher, I got it right today. I got a story tonight that I'm going to share with you right quick." And that clock back there gets me in trouble all the time. A man heard a sermon. At 103, that sermon touched his life. He was saved at 103. He died at 106. You want to know when he heard the sermon? 85 years before he was saved. He heard it in England. He was living in Virginia. 85 years later, he remembered what the Word of God had been said by the minister of God, and it changed his life, and he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. That's what this wisdom will do. So we never know when we give them a hot dog and we preach the word to them. It may be 40 years, but one of these days, God's going to say, "Come to me. You're mine." That church down there started something. They sowed a seed. They watered a seed. But I'm calling it in today. Church, are we going to do that? Are we going to be the church He wants us to be? Let's close with a word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, I give You the praise, the glory, and the honor today. Lord, I pray that if there's any in this room that they don't know You, that they can say, I just don't know for sure. That right now, where they're sitting, that they would say, "God, I love You. God, I love You because of what Jesus did for me. Jesus, I love You, and I feel the Spirit drawing me right now, and I want to praise You and worship You. I want You to become my Lord and my Savior. I want to begin a relationship with You today. At this very moment, I'm asking You, I'm repenting of my sin, I'm turning them over to You. I'm giving You my life to use however You want to do it." See, if you've done that, you're saved. That's what was taking place sometime in the past in Amanda's life. But today we saw the picture of that as she confessed it to men and to this church and to this community and to her family, that they know that she has made this decision. Father, that's the next step for us. Whatever the decision today, today it's about You, Father. But most of us, we do that. And as we sing in a moment, we sing, "We love You, Lord. We worship You. We adore You." Let us also sing, "We glorify in Your name." Let's get it off of self and get it all on Him. Church, as we stand and sing, let's sing these words to Him. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing. It's page 18. The words will be on the screen. Glorify the name. Church, as we walk out these doors, let's glorify His name. You've said the words, and y'all know how I am. My word is a bond. It's been with what I was taught by my Father. And so my words mean something. You've said it. Do you mean it? If you do, will you do it as you walk out these doors? This week, let's glorify the Lord. Let's show Him to the world that needs Him above all else in our world today.